received from a national office in Lutterworth, and it kind of gives a picture of why we do what we do. So this is a letter that was sent into national office. My name is Debbie, and I am a sister at Thameside Hospital on an acute admission unit, usually a very busy, organised unit. Patients arrive here acutely unwell. We stabilise them and move them on to relevant wards or discharge them home. In March last year, everything changed. I think this now it would be last year, still current to last year. We became an acute COVID ward. Patients were admitted for high levels of oxygen and ventilation. In spite of this, patients were not getting better, deteriorating very quickly and often dying. This is very new to everyone. Even the consultants and the anaesthetists were baffled at patients not responding to treatment. Some of these patients were very young, and none of them had anyone loved ones present because of restrictions. This was distressing for the patients and the staff, as normally we see relatives as very important when their loved ones are dying. Nurses were now holding patients' hands when they were dying. We were having to contact relatives by phone to inform them that their loved ones had died. Our work became frightening, emotionally and physically draining, for me trying to support and encourage staff and comfort them when they were broken and afraid after a busy 12-hour shift was exhausting. I was also very fearful of taking the virus home to my family. As I called out to the Lord on many occasions, he gave me many comforting words of scripture, especially Psalm 46, "Be still and let me know, and know that I am God." This psalm I read over and over again from my Bible, which I carry in my pocket at work. I wanted to thank you for placing Bibles in the hospital. Prior to COVID, I read the psalms to patients who were dying alone or had no relatives, so it was natural for me to reach for these Bibles again at this time and to read to my patients who were dying. Other members of the staff heard me reading these to patients and remarked what lovely poems they were. I had many opportunities to witness to my staff, and some of them read these psalms to patients themselves and also carried these Bibles in their scrub pockets. I began to feel a sense of real calm and peace on our unit. We have no church ministers available in the hospital, so your Bibles have been a real blessing and light in this dark situation. Love, Debbie. So that was from Debbie, a nurse, there are many other testimonies that are amazing, really, from people with no interest in Christianity, picking up a Bible in a hotel room and being converted there and then on the spot. They just the word just through God's Spirit just connected them straight away. Also, testimonies of people contemplating suicide. They didn't commit suicide. They came followers of the Lord. Some really amazing testimonies there. So if you ever want to read more testimonies, please go to our website, which is goodnewsuk.com. Now, on the name change, just to quickly check, why did we change our name from Gideon's UK to Good? It's quite a mouthful, Good News for Everyone UK. Well, the fact is we had to. I can't remember the exact date, but Gideon started in America as a men's ministry, and in America is basically a men's ministry, although the wives of the members can become what they called auxiliary members. But here in the UK and also in Canada, we invited women members to join in their own right, and Gideon's in the USA didn't agree with this, and they said that if you went ahead with this step, that they would disassociate with us. Anyway, we went ahead, and they told us that we could no longer use the name because they owned the trademark or whatever you like to call it. They owned the titles to that name, and that's why we had to change our name. And so we changed it to Good News for Everyone. Gideon's Canada changed it to Share World Global. So that's the reason for the change name. So what do we do? Well, as you know, we place Bibles in what we call the corridors of life, hotels, prisons. We distribute them in schools when we're invited, and universities. We place them in where the general public would go on a day, whether it's a doctor's surgery, dentist, solicitor, wherever we think we can reach them. And also personally, as a personal witness, as members, we have, there's an array of Bibles at the back there, and we have different publications suited to different types of worker. We have key worker testaments, we have medical testaments, we produce special emblems for certain, you know, the army, the police, the fire service, the ambulance service. We have Bibles that have their crest on, and they're all basically the same inside, but they're personal to them in their service. So we hand those out, and just to say personally why I joined the Gideon, because I was aware in my own, myself, that my personal witness was not all it could be, I wanted to be a better ambassador of Christ than I had been, and the testaments that these personal work testaments that we carry, that they're a real focus for the mind, and it really are a blessing, and it makes it emboldens you to speak to people and try and turn the conversation. You know, you don't just blindly go up to them and they want this, but you when you are in conversation. I got a dog and I walk him regularly, and they're my target audience, as you might say, and quite a number of accepted testaments in the past. So, so God's word. I mean, we can't save anybody, can we? It's God's word interpreted through His Spirit to the heart and mind, and without that, we're just blind guides. So, the scripture that we, often go to is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And I think we can all identify with that. It's interesting, I was reading about Mark Twain, the famous American author of a century or two ago, who wrote Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. He was brought up a Presbyterian, although he soon drifted away. But his famous quote was that it's not the things in the Bible that he doesn't understand that worry him; it's the things that he does understand that he worries about. But it's still, from what I understand, he became a deist, but not a Christian. The Comedy Branch now has been established 50 years. Earlier this year, we had our 50th anniversary celebration, invited all our what we call friends. We have obviously the members, but also friends. The friends of the Gideons are basically prayer partners who receive our quarterly letter, and also our magazine, which comes out in twice a year. So, if any of you are ever interested in becoming more involved in this work, please feel free to. There's a sign-up sheet there. That if you either want to become a friend, a prayer partner, or if you want to even go further, become a member, please have a word with Brian or myself afterwards. So what we also do as a branch is a collaboration with churches. Where we can, we'd like to help and assist churches in any outreach or other work that they've got going, any mission that we happily provide scriptures for churches in that regard. And also internationally, we're in a partnership with ShareWorld Global, who are, like I say, the Canada branch. And ShareWorld Global organise trips to various parts of the world, South America, Asia, Africa, and many of our, not our, I don't think any of our branch members have actually gone, but throughout the UK, many of them have gone to these places, and we've, again, you can read about these on our website, and it's really some of, again, amazing stories, amazing what God is doing across the world. As nationally, we are also planting branches in Eastern Europe, and I'm pleased to say that at the moment these are really progressing and gaining more members. Places like Bosnia, Herzegovina, Macedonia, Czech Republic, Romania, Montenegro, but now all those Balkan states that branches are now planted there and they're growing. So we praise the God for that. Finally, I mean, I would say that the pandemic has obviously hindered the work, as it's hindered everything, hasn't it, for nearly 2 years. Everything came to a standstill. One of the things that it meant was hotels. In fact, the majority of hotels took the Bibles out of the hotel rooms, judging it, and you can understand, judging it in a pandemic, it was an infection risk. So all the Bibles were removed from the rooms, and we're now trying to get them back into the hotels and other places. Obviously, a lot of other places where we put the scriptures have been removed. Shortly before the Commonwealth Games, we had a camp, because we knew that a lot of international people would be coming to the West Midlands, because of Birmingham, yeah, and Coventry. We had a campaign of trying to get the Bibles back in to these hotels before the Commonwealth Games began, and a group of us went driving throughout the whole of West Midlands, wherever there were to be events in the Commonwealth Games, and it was a mixed result. For instance, Premier Inns are brilliant, and whenever they've had a new hotel built, they would contact our national office and say, we need Bibles for this new hotel we're building,
yeah.
And but they haven't removed them, but and when we went to many premier hotels, and it was the same story every time. We removed them from the rooms. We've now stored them in boxes in the storeroom, and we're waiting for instructions from their higher management as what to do. But as we speak, my understanding is they're still not in the room. So that would be a prayer point for everyone that the Premier Inn would once again place those bottles back into the rooms. On the team that I was on, our very last hotel was a real blessing. It was in the Coventry area. It was the Brandon Hall Hotel. We went there, and it the last few hotels hadn't been very encouraging, to put it slightly, we went to the Brandon Hall Hotel, told them what we were. Obviously, they contacted the reception, contacted the manager, and so long as they were free, that was the manager's main concern, because as long as they're free, yes, we'll take them. And they took 122 Bibles for every room, and they took, I can't even remember the number of personal witness statements they took for their staff, so
right.
praise God for that. So, like I say, I'll finish now. If anybody is interested in becoming more involved in the work, please see the display, talk to me or Brian, or sign up as a friend. God bless you.
Thank you, Colin.
Thanks, Colin. Wow, Colin joined us about 5 years ago now, I think. Something like that. And he's really got involved, and he's a great blessing to us. He's the one who prints the friends letters every month, and with his wife Margaret, they prepare all the main and get that out. And are we on?
Yes.
I need to hold it up higher. Yeah. Hold it up higher, right. But very good to be here. I'm so sorry I had to let you down in June when I was really crock. I had a shocking sore throat, raging throat, and it was very strange. It was terrible. I really felt, could hardly speak. And I thought, well, even if I could speak, you wouldn't want me to bring it to share it. And I thought, whoever gave it to me, I wish they hadn't. But so I had to cancel at short notice. But it's really good to be here with you today. I remember last visit, 4 years?
Probably.
About 4 years ago. And since then, as you've heard, we've had a lot of problems. In fact, we've all had problems, haven't we?
Yeah.
How have you coped with them? Some days good, some days not so good. We've all had our ups and downs. And the world's in a mess, humanly speaking. But we've got a Father in heaven who's in control.
Yeah.
It's not Putin, I'm glad to say.
Yeah.
And even if he does press the trigger, we know our God is greater. And I got to the stage where I could hardly bear to watch the news in the morning. I thought to myself, what depressing stuff. If I didn't know that we had a God on the throne, I don't think I'd want to be around.
Yeah.
And that's where we're facing today. And so many people are struggling with depression, and it's yours and my job to say to them, there is a God in heaven,
amen,
and he loves you. There is a Savior Jesus who died for you. Just this week, I felt really, really moved to go and visit an old bowling friend. He's a couple of years older than me. He's 86. And he's dying of cancer. He'd been a farmer all his life. Lovely guy. Really good guy. But I knew he didn't know the Lord. But I knew he knew I knew the Lord. And he's been keeping in touch. I've been ringing him and keeping in touch and visiting when I could. But they took away what they could, there's a lot they couldn't, and so they sent him home to die, basically. Now, they didn't put it quite like that, but they couldn't do any chemo or radio, it was just too far gone. And I felt, this week, a real burden. I was planning to go last week, and I had another throat infection. I thought, I dare take that round and share it. So I spoke to him, and I said, I hope to come to you on Thursday, and I went on Thursday. And I went with a large print testament, and I said, John, you know I'm a believer. You know I believe in Jesus. And yeah, I do. And I said, I just feel God wants me to tell you what it means to trust in him. And I was able to share the scriptures with him, go down the Roman road, you know, about how we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But isn't it wonderful? That's why Jesus died. And then to go through passages like John 14 and, yeah, in my Father's house are many mansions. John, God could put your name on one of those rooms if you just trust him. Anyway, after we'd been talking for a while, I said, can I pray with you? He said, yeah. So I prayed with him. I said, if you make this your prayer, you know, Jesus can be your Lord and Savior. Now, I haven't done that for years. I haven't had that opportunity for years. I don't know how many I've missed, but I don't know whether I should have done it more often. But I had a real compelling burden to go and do that with John this week. Now, he's sharp as anything mentally, but he can't even get out of bed and walk now. He's gone down so rapidly in just 3 months. A shadow of his former self, this tough farmer guy who's worked himself, you know, very, very hard all his life. But And there are people like that who need you and me.
Yeah.
And they need the scriptures. Now, I offered to give him my large print testament, but he just can't read, he can't concentrate on reading. I found 8 years ago when I was very, very ill and it looked like I might be called home, that I couldn't concentrate on reading even then. As a Christian, I wanted to read the scriptures, but I could listen to them. So Jean would read to me, and she'd read from a Christian book to me. And, you know, and it was encouragement. And you know, if you've got Christian friends who are struggling and they're in their last days, they might not be able to read for themselves, but you can encourage them from the Word.
Yeah.
And people who don't yet know Jesus need to hear.
Yes.
But he loves them. He died for them. That's what good news is all about. And I love that about it because, and I think our name is much better than Gideon's. Gideon's? What does that mean? See, it's an open book, our new logo.
Okay.
And it says not a lot more. No, it's not a book club, it's the book club.
Yeah.
It's not just a club. It's all about one who inspires us and moves us and saves us. Now, I didn't mean to share all that, but I've done it, and I hope that's encouraged you and challenged you. But
yeah.
Those two words are what leapt out at me this week. I felt God wanted me to say to you from 1 Corinthians 15:58, because it's something I have to say to myself frequently, stand firm. John referred to this in prayer earlier, about, you know, staying our ground. And we're all tempted to get off track. So many things can distract us in life, can't they? I mean, it can be health, it can be work, it can be family, it can be snide neighbours, it can be all sorts of things. You know, your car breaking down and needing to be replaced. And these can get us off track. And we can take our focus off the fact that Jesus is Lord and he wants to be involved in all of these things. So there are so many people, you know, John 14:6. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And when Jesus said that, and I heard that scripture, and I knew I was a sinner that needed to be saved by grace, I knew my only way was through Jesus. But the world is looking at all sorts of other ways to try to find peace with God, and they're missing it. But we've got the answer. Aren't we a privileged people?
Yeah.
And for every one of us worshipping God today, there are about 80% of the population, maybe 90%, who don't know Jesus, who aren't worshipping him today. They'll be worshipping the God of provision in the supermarket today, but the wrong provider. They'll be looking to what they've got in their pay packet to provide. Well, of course, at a natural level, we all need to do that. But he's not, the government isn't our provider. Our employer isn't our provider. In Acts 24, when Paul's on trial before Felix, the governor, he had a mixed audience. He had a lot of people who believed in the resurrection and quite a few who didn't. So the Pharisees were strong on the resurrection, the teaching, the Old Testament. The Sadducees weren't. And he thought, I'll divide them. So he divided them by talking about the resurrection, how he'd met the risen Jesus and how Jesus had been raised from the dead. Well, of course, that immediately, it was like scattering the pigeons. And he told his testimony of how he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Your testimony is powerful.
Yeah.
You may not think, oh, it's very ordinary. You know, I heard a guy who said to me when he was listening to somebody else's testimony about how he'd been delivered from drugs and he'd gone through all this. And he said, oh, I wish I had a testimony like that. I said, you do? I'm just glad I was spared all that. I know what he meant. It wasn't very exciting. But you know, the fact that Jesus lives in you is exciting.
That's right. Yeah.
And people will see that when you start to tell them.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people think Christianity is pie in the sky when you die. But we know it's abundant life now and hope eternal.
That's right.
And we need to point people to that truth.
Yeah.
And so when we're knocked off our direction a bit sometimes, we need to come back to this and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stand firm. Now, I want to read quite a bit from 1 Corinthians 15. I went to a funeral 25 years ago, it must be. One of our cabinet members was killed in a car crash, and his wife said to me, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 15. So I said, yeah, which verses? She said, the whole thing. And in this big Church of England down in Sussex, which was filled with all his colleagues, he was a very well-known orthopedic surgeon. He was the one who put Adam Faith together after he was smashed up in a car crash. Now, some of you won't know Adam Faith before your time, but he was a well-known singer in your time, yeah, and mine, and he had this car crash. He was absolutely smashed to bits, and this guy put him together again, and he was able to walk and carry on living, and he owed his life to him, really, and he was there killed in this car crash. And And I read 1 Corinthians 15. So if we just, where's the clicker? Thank you. Is it on?
Yeah, it should be. So just go left and right.
Left and right. So we'll start at the beginning. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and of which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Now, that's very true, isn't it? Very important.
Yeah.
We've got to stick to what we know we believed and put our trust in and not get dissuaded. None of these other additions that, you know, oh, you need to do this plus that. No, we're saved by grace through faith. And that's a gift of God, not of ourselves, so that no one can boast.
That's
the essence of the gospel.
Amen.
And so he goes on, he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Isn't that so? Wouldn't it be awful if it was only for this life? I mean, just imagine the emptiness of the end. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then we're going to jump down to verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I can imagine him writing this. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Oh, wonderful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. I love that thought of swallowed up, you know. It's absolutely dealt with, all taken away. And so he says this, and I think it's wonderful. Where, O death, is your victory? Can you imagine me reading this out with great gusto in this big Anglican church? Where, O death, is your victory? And I read it as dramatically as I could. I knew a lot of those people might never hear the gospel again, and I made sure they got it that day. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what's it there for? It's so that we need to take action. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Do you know that? Do you know that? At the end of it, you say, oh, you're wasting your time. Don't believe it. He's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a thief. And he wants to remove from you and me our joy in serving him. Now, Paul, of course, talked about this in other letters too, about the resurrection, because he knew it was a big issue. And there were people who had falsely taught certain branches of the church. And I mean, in Timothy, he has to deal with the fact that these two had already said the resurrection had taken place and that they were too late. What? Can you imagine if somebody told you you missed the boat?
Wouldn't it be awful?
Yeah.
But the fact is, we haven't. It's still to be.
Amen.
So here is Paul writing to Corinth like he had to do to other churches, correcting incorrect or false teaching. I love it where he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. You and I are the second fruits.
Amen.
He's the first fruits. He's shown the way. He's blazed the trail back to heaven, into the very presence of his Father. Now, of course, Paul had met Jesus personally. And when he shared that testimony, that really rocked people. Here was the great persecutor of Christians suddenly proclaiming Christ. Now, your testimony and mine might not be quite that dramatic, but we need to remember that we have the victory through Christ, so we need to stand firm. So when Satan whispers that you're a failure, well, naturally speaking, I am. But by the grace of God, I'm a success.
Amen.
And if you reverse every negative thought that Satan puts in your mind, that gets to the truth.
Right.
So when he tells you you're weak, but you say, by faith, I'm strong. And if he, I had a friend of mine who used to suffer from depression, and he really felt got at, and he realized this truth, and he started to take all these negatives and reverse them and declare the truth according to God's word, and his life was transformed, and he went on to tell many, many people about Jesus. So when the Apostle Paul says, let nothing move you, that doesn't mean emotionally. I've got emotional this morning, have you?
Yeah.
I mean, the moment we stop engaging with God at an emotional level and at each other, it doesn't mean that. He says, let nothing move you off track. Let nothing distract you. And there are so many things, I mentioned a few of them earlier, that can distract us. Even ill health can distract us. Get us down to the point where we think, oh, I'm no use at all. But we are here for the long haul. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's nearly 60 years since I joined the Gideons, as it was, when I heard God, it was 60 years actually just gone, when I heard God's call, but it was a year before I actually joined, because I was still doing studies. And so 60 years next March, I'll be a member. And I've seen God move in mighty ways, but I've been at times thinking, oh, maybe I can leave this to other people, particularly as I get older. But I feel God saying to me again, age is not an issue. Because like with my elderly friend, I can relate to him in his 80s, just as you can relate to people in your teens or 20s and some of you in between. And so all of us have a mission field. As a chorus, we used to sing a chorus when I was in Sunday school. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Do you remember that, John?
I've heard of it.
Oh, I'm before your time. I've forgotten. I'm 30-odd years older than you. But, so you might not remember that, but there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And in Sunday school, that really was drummed into me. God's got a call on each of our lives that only you can fulfill. That's scary, because if I don't do it, what if that means people are going to miss out? Or has he got a plan B, or get somebody else? No, he's chosen you, me. So we have to face up to it. I was watching a wildlife program this week, one of David Attenborough's ones, and they're fantastic, aren't they? And there were these pumas. And there was a young puma that was trying to get a meal. And what the tactics, of course, are you chase this flock around and whatever the animals you're after, and you try to isolate one of them, get it separated from the pack, because then you can pounce and it's a lot easier, and the others won't be able to trample on you, and you can get it in the neck, and that's it, that's your dinner for a few days. And watching this young puma and false attempts, but then eventually getting its kill. And it reminded me of 1 Peter 5:8, where Paul says to us, Peter tells us, that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And we need fellowship. We need to encourage one another. We need to worship together. We need to get on the phone to each other during the week. We need to make those phone calls that really can just be at such a time that will be that encouragement we each need. Because by walking in fellowship, we are less vulnerable to the devil who prowls around seeking to nobble us.
Amen.
So, I wonder what distractions you might be having to deal with right now. I wonder how your faith is, how strong you're feeling. You know, when we're feeling weak, remember that's when we can rely on the Lord even more for his strength and his grace. Whatever difficulty you're facing, just remember, God is on the throne. God is God. There is no other. And Jesus is the only Lord. I'm told that most backsliders don't make a deliberate decision to backslide. They just make a wrong decision. And it's the beginning of a slippery slope. And then they find, I don't know, I can get back. And I've talked to people who've made bad decisions and fallen away. It's very hard for them to humble themselves and come back. Now, it's that first bad decision that can lead to the slippery slope. And I would encourage you, when you feel you're tempted, just say, Lord, I want to keep on doing what you want me to do, calling me what you want me to be. In AD 60, the Apostle Peter knew he was nearing the end of his earthly life. The Lord had told him he was going to die at the hands of unbelievers, and he knew it was going to be a pretty horrible death. But Peter wasn't waiting round for that moment, like the comics in Waiting for God. No, it's coming, but you know, sort of just joking about the fact. He got on with making the most of those last few years. When Paul was in prison, he wrote some of the most fantastic letters to the churches that you and I feed on today.
Yeah.
So the face of adversity can be extra God's opportunity.
Amen.
But we have to see them as that. And when Peter addressed believers at the church in... one of the churches in modern day Turkey, it was the called Crumbs, which church was it? It's dropped from me. It was, oh, anyway, he wrote this in chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. And then he says this, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that challenging? I don't know whether you take food supplements, but I take vitamin supplements because at my age you need a lot of them. And my wife and I both take them. And because not all the food we eat naturally has got everything we might need. But food supplements are good, but he's saying here, supplement your faith with these things.
Yeah.
If you get time to read that, 1 Peter 3 to 8 later, I would encourage you to do that. So we've got a glorious hope, and Paul says, urges us to stand firm.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, we can. But I want us to go beyond that and say, by the grace of God, I will. Because can isn't good enough, but will is committing our will to doing the will of God and to standing firm.
Amen.
Can I just pray for us? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for making it so clear in your word that we couldn't make it on our own, but by the Lord Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary, we can. And most of us here have. We just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to live in the good of that and at every opportunity to share that wonderful hope and message with other people, because there are so many dying around us without that hope. And Lord, we pray you'll help us to add to our faith all these wonderful attributes that Peter encourages us to do. Lord, forgive us our failings. Strengthen our resolve, we pray, as we recommit our life tomorrow, this week, this coming year, if you spare us, Lord. Not to look at the fearful things and the distractions in earth, in the world, but to focus on you and on your kingdom. For your kingdom is coming. It's already here, but it's coming in greater measure and in great power. And I, for one, want to be fully part of that. And I want to live forever with you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, you promised I will, by your grace. So help us each one, we pray, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Brian.